Good evening, everybody. What a beautiful night it is tonight. The weather is wonderful. I got stuck in the blizzard back in Washington, D.C. last week, and oh, is it good to be home in this kind of weather. It is Valentine weekend. I'm sure none of you need me to tell you that. And so I thought I would read for you tonight a passage out of the Word of God known as the Love Chapter, and it is 1 Corinthians 13. And the Word of God says this: if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. But the greatest of these is love. Now if you were to ask most people if they consider themselves to be loving people, most people would say yes. And most people would describe the way they love others by the things they do for others, or the way they feel about others. But God has a much higher standard than that for love, and He has given us that standard in this passage of Scripture. He says that love is patient. So have you been patient perfectly all your life with the ones you claim to love? Love is kind. Have you been kind at all times with those you claim to love? It says that love does not envy or boast. Have we ever wanted something that doesn't belong to us? Have we ever bragged to make ourselves feel better about ourselves or to make ourselves look better before other people? It says that love is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. How many times have we told the people that we love, hey, if you love me, you will do this or that for me, insisting on our own way? It does not rejoice in wrongdoing. How many times have we said that we are loving people, but yet we root for the bad guy? But rejoices in the truth, the Word of God says. Do we always do that? Well, if we're loving people, we rejoice in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Have we constantly been patient and enduring with those that we claim to love? Now you might wonder, well, what does all of this mean? What's the difference? Why does this matter? Well, God's standard is moral perfection. If we want to be right before God, we have to obey all of His commands perfectly, and that would include His commands on how we should love. Now granted, none of us can live up to that standard. I know that I certainly can't, but God doesn't lower His standards simply because we're unable to live up to them. And what are the consequences of falling short of God's standard? Whether it's lying or stealing or taking His name in vain, or in the way that we claim to love other people, what is the consequence for falling short? Well, falling short, first of all, more specifically, is called sin, which is a transgression of God's law. And because God is holy, because He is righteous and just, He is going to punish sin. Yes, He is going to punish the murderer. He is going to punish the rapist and the child molester. But He's also going to punish the person who claims to be loving, but yet is not patient or kind. He's going to punish the person who claims to be loving, but yet is arrogant and rude towards the ones he or she claims that they love. And because God is good, because He is holy and righteous and just, and because He will punish our sin, the punishment God has ascribed for sin is eternity in hell. Now, it doesn't matter whether or not we believe it. It doesn't matter, certainly, whether or not we like it. What matters is whether or not It is true. And it is true. It's appointed once for a person to die, and after that comes the judgment. We're all part of the ultimate statistic, folks. 10 out of 10 people die. We're all going to die someday. And that is the bad news. But here is the good news. The same God who inspired the Apostle Paul to write the chapter on love is a God of love. And he did the most extraordinary loving thing that he could ever do, and that's when he provided a way for us to escape his just and his holy wrath through the gift of his Son, Jesus Christ. In fact, Jesus said, greater love is no one than this, than he who lays down his life for his friends. 2,000 years ago, God the Father sent his Son to earth in the person of Jesus Christ, fully God and fully man and without sin. Unlike you and me, he never once violated God's law in any way. He was God in the flesh, perfect in every respect. And about 30 to 33 years into that earthly existence, he voluntarily went to the cross. He suffered and died a horrific death on that cross, shedding his innocent blood to take upon himself the punishment you and I rightly deserve for violating God's law. And then 3 days later, he rose from the dead, forever defeating sin and death. God's love was so amazing. He loved the world so much that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. God's love was so perfect, so beyond compare to any kind of love we can show to one another, that he literally allowed the full cup of his just and his holy wrath to be poured out upon his Son when he shed his innocent blood on the cross. God the Father literally allowed God the Son, who knew no sin, to become sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And what God commands of all people everywhere is that we repent, that we turn from our sin and by faith and by faith alone receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. Are you within the sound of my voice tonight, and do you claim to love God? Well, if you claim to love God and you've never turned from your sin and put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation, then the reality is you do not love God, you hate God. You're an enemy of God and you're at enmity with him. But thanks be to God for his indescribable gift, in that he allowed his innocent Son to die on the cross, and in Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, defeated sin and death when he rose from the grave. Thanks be to God for that indescribable gift. He has given you an opportunity this evening, if you can hear my voice, to turn from your sin and by faith alone, receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. There is no more loving gift you will ever receive than the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. So please, turn from your sin, forsake your sin, and by faith alone, receive the most loving gift you can ever receive, the gift of salvation in Jesus Christ, while he has given you time. Turn from your sin and repent. You're all going to stand before God one day and you won't be shouting amen with mock amens. You'll be on your face begging for mercy. But unless you've turned from your sin and put your trust in Christ, there will be no mercy. And I hope you care more about your children than you care about your own soul tonight, ma'am. It's appointed once for a person to die, and after that comes the judgment, folks. We're all going to die. We're all going to stand before God.
God, he doesn't want you pushing religion upon
him. Really? What verse is that?
I don't know.
You don't know. You're just making that up, huh? So what do you think is going to happen to you when you die?
I probably want to go to heaven.
Based on what? Why do you think you're going to heaven?
Because I'm a Christian.
What makes you a Christian?
What makes me a Christian?
Yeah, there are many people who claim to be Christian. Wait, you're a Christian, you're hearing the gospel, and you're walking away? First evidence that you're not a Christian, young man. You're playing church. Young man, you need to repent and turn from your sin and put your trust in Christ. No hypocrite will stand before Christ. Many will say to him on that day, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name and pray in your name and cast out demons and do many miracles in your name? And he will say on that day, depart from me, I never knew you, you workers of lawlessness. And folks, that young man is such a sad example of the American church today. People who go to church on Sunday and live like hell Monday through Saturday. They claim to know God. They think that God owes them something like heaven, but yet God doesn't know them. God doesn't know them because they've never turned from their sin and put their trust in Christ alone to save them. Folks, going to church will not make you right with God. Claiming to be a Christian when you know not the Christ will not make you right with God. Doing good deeds will not make you right with God. It will not exonerate you from your sin. Folks, if you think your good deeds will save you, that's like going into a courtroom, having been found guilty of breaking the law, and saying to the judge, yes, I'm guilty, but hey, I've helped two little old ladies across the street, I give to the poor, and I go to church on Sunday, I even sing in the choir, so I think you ought to just let me go. The judge is going to look at you and say, look, doing all those nice things, that doesn't change the fact that you've broken the law, you're still guilty. And you can't bribe the judge. You can't walk up to the judge and say, hey, I've done these good deeds and here's $20. Why don't we forget about the whole thing? In fact, when you try to bribe a judge, that crime is often brings about more punishment than the crime that landed you before the judge in the first place. And nobody will be able to bribe God. No one will be able to stand before God and say, I've done many good deeds, and I even prayed once in a while, and I named the name of Jesus from time to time. I think you ought to just forget about my sin and let me in. You can't bribe the judge of the universe. You can't bribe Almighty God. He's holy, He's righteous and just. And He's going to judge each and every one of us according to the perfect moral standard of His law. If we've ever lied, if we've ever stolen, looked with lust, taken His name in vain, because He is good, He will find us guilty. And again, the punishment He has ascribed for sin is eternity in hell. But thanks be to God for that indescribable gift that He allowed His Son, Jesus Christ, to come to earth, fully God and fully man and without sin, to take upon Himself the punishment you and I rightly deserve for our sins against God. And then 3 days later, after He shed His innocent blood on the cross, He rose from the grave, forever defeating sin and death. He is alive today, and He will return at a time of the Father's choosing. Folks, faith is only as reliable as the object of our faith. And if you put your faith in anything or anyone other than the Lord Jesus Christ, then your faith is in vain. If you put your faith in Buddha, that won't help you. Buddha's dead. If you put your faith in Muhammad, that won't help you. Muhammad's dead. If you put your faith in the millions of false gods of Hinduism, they won't help you either. They're inanimate objects created by fallible human beings. They're all dead, lifeless things. The only one who can help you is the only God who is alive, and that is Jesus Christ the Lord. So turn from your sin, folks, while God has given you time. Turn from your sin, and by faith alone, receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior while He has given you time. Folks, we have Bibles. They are free. We don't want to sign you up for a church. They are free. All you have to do is ask. We'd love to give you one. Love to put the Word of God in your hand. See if what you're hearing tonight is true. Thank you for listening. How are you, young man? How are you? I'm Tony. What's your name? Brandon. Nice to meet you, Brandon. Do you have a Bible? You do? Very good. Do you read it? Wonderful. Wonderful. So what brings you here tonight? Because you want to hear me speak about God? Is this your son? It is? Can I give him a hug? Would that be all right? Brandon, God bless you. Thank you so much. You have no idea how much you encourage me tonight. Thank you for being here to listen.